they'll humble themselves and pray. Seek my face. Turn from their ways. They shall hear from heaven. And there is a challenge going across the earth right now. Is will the body of Christ, will men and women of God rise up and begin to declare, hallelujah, and begin to pray and begin to raise a standard. Come on. If you're like me, I was watching the election. I felt like I got punched in the gut, in my spirit. And I began, I was by myself and I was praying. Then my wife came and we began to pray and I felt my spirit rise up. But then we began to listen to Kenneth Copeland. We began to hear the declarations, the prophetic promises over this nation, the declarations of God's truth. And we began to come into alignment with the Word of God in this area, in this time, in this season. And we said, yes, Lord, we're going to see a victory. You see, the enemy wants you to roll over. He wants you to take that gut shot and roll over and say, you know what, it's too big. Goliath's sword is too big. His spear is too big. His shield is too big. He's too tall. Just roll over. Roll over, church. But God says, wake up. This is your greatest hour. Men and women of God, I was listening to Bill Johnson. He said, begin to pray like you've never prayed before. Begin to intercede like you've never interceded before, church. What the enemy tried to use for evil, God's going to use for the good. It might be a rude awakening, but let it be awakening nonetheless. Father God, my awesome, almighty creator, this nation belongs to you. And as your people on earth, we declare that God, you choose who shall be president. Hey, you choose. And if it's Trump, and it is Trump, we declare right now by the name of Jesus. Come on, we stand up. When I was laying on the bin, on the ground of the floor, it wasn't my time. It wasn't my time yet. And it's not Trump's time to be over. Because it's been decreed and it's been declared by prophets throughout the earth. So we need to rise up as God's people and declare it. Come on. I'm not going anywhere. You could stop them. You can't stop them. You can't stop God's word. When God's people begin to proclaim and pray, you can't stop it. No, listen, you can't stop it. When God's people begin to declare and pray and seek his face, we will hear from heaven. We have heard from heaven. Pastor Jake, we have heard over his life, over my life, healings and miracles. We've heard it. Linda, we've heard it. Mary, we've heard it. Deb, we've heard it. Don't stop. Come on, the enemy's trying to make you stop, but we don't stop right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Take courage. Take faith. Come on, rise up in prayer. Hallelujah. In declaration, Father God, you are King. Hallelujah. Your throne is being established on earth as it is in heaven. Justice. Hallelujah. Not just righteousness, but justice. Justice. You are a just God. And any unjust thing that's happening on the earth, whether it's abortion, come on. We come against that spirit of abortion. We rebuke it, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, that this nation shall turn from it once and for all. But that we rise up, hallelujah, Jesus. We rise up. Thank you, Father God.
Hallelujah. During this period of time, the Lord was reminding me of something when I was at the Mayo and I was in intensive care. And towards the end, I weighed about 100 pounds. I looked like I was about 90 years old. And I looked at the end of this and I said, how are you ever going to get me through this? It's impossible in the natural. And then he said, watch, keep the word, because my word is the power of the truth. And I am raising up an army of intercessors, an army of people that know how to pray and get a hold of my name. And when I decree and declare it, there is going to bring a breakthrough, for I, saith the Lord, will break through this. Miracles come in different ways. The miracle of breakthrough is coming. It is a new day. It's a day to rise and shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord is breaking forth. It's a new day. Destruction and corruption is being broken, for justice will prevail in this land. The word of the Lord will go forth, for my justice is righteousness, saith the Lord. And I decree and declare in Jesus' name, justice and righteousness is breaking forth in America. Justice and righteousness is breaking forth. It's the truth of my word. So stand your ground for the oppressor. The oppressor is being defeated and gates are being broken open. For my word is the truth, saith the Lord. I am breaking forth in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Gates are being broken open. Church, we live under an open heaven. God hears. God hears our prayers. God hears the cries of our hearts. He hears the cries of our hearts. And He responds to the cries of our hearts. And He doesn't require a lot from us. He only requires that we humbly serve Him, that we fall on our knees and pray, and that we give. And in community church, we don't take the offering. We give the offering as individuals, freely, according to how God lays on your hearts. I want to read Malachi 3, verse 10. It says, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts." It says, bring the full tithe. Not just part, but the full tithe. And what's the full tithe? What's the full tithe? Bethany, what's the full tithe? What's the full tithe? 10%. I'm sorry, I put my daughter on the spot. Yes, 10%. So, if I earn $1,000, how much is it? $100. If I only earn $100, how much is it? $10. And if I only earn $10, how much is it? $1. Okay, if it's $1,000,000, how much is it? 100,000. Right? No, it's not too much. It's not too much because you know what? I'm going to read the next verse to you. It says in verse 11, "I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear," says the Lord of hosts. If we give, God says that He will rebuke the devourer. And I don't know about you, but the enemy has devoured a lot of my stuff. He's done that. But since I've been tithing, God has rebuked the devourer. And He's opened the windows of heaven. And he has blessed us. He has blessed us as a family. Beyond anything that I ever imagined. And if he's done it for me, then he'll do it for you. Guaranteed. He says that he will do it for you. And this is the only verse, verse 9, in the Bible that says, test me and see if I will not. It's the only verse where God says, test me and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and give you everything. I'm sorry, it's the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Jeff, will you come? Thank you, Jesus. We get to give this morning. We get to give. So I'd encourage you, bring your offerings now. Father, right now, we bring our offerings, our tithes to you. Father, for the storehouse, for this church, for the functions of this body. And Father, this day we want to give you praise and honor and glory for everything that you've done for us. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. There is children's church this morning. So children, you may go with Tom and Jen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I was getting the roar. Thanks, praise and worship team. Fantastic. It was great. Good anointing, man. Hallelujah. Yeah, sometimes we get so used to it that it becomes just common, but there's nothing about the power of the anointing in praise and worship. There's just nothing. You know, I can turn on, whether it be 12 o'clock at night or 12 in the afternoon, I can turn on, and if it's anointing, it changes the whole atmosphere. Amen? Yeah, sometimes people say, well, what will change the atmosphere? You will, if you dare. Amen? And I've been hearing things on prayer. That's one of the most powerful things I really believe that God's doing on the earth today. And if change is going to come, it's going to come because the saints of God dare to believe that when we pray, God answers prayer. And, you know, it's a challenging thing because throughout the earth, you know, prayer, I mean, we can have church, but can we pray? You know, we can have all sorts of programs and different things, but can we pray? And praying just requires you and God to agree with his word, amen. And so we're going to look again a little bit on the area of prayer. I had an opportunity again to spend some time with the Lord, and I spent some time, and I was asking Jesus, I said, Jesus, all the work that we do in the realm of church, I mean, buildings have been built, maintained, taken care of. We're dealing with the world situations in water in Africa, other buildings and other places, all sorts of work. But, you know, really when it comes down to it, his word makes the difference in our life. And really that's where it's at. You know, you're going to go home this afternoon and live this next week, and I'm going to do the same thing. And it'll be our prayer, it'll be our understanding that God does answer prayer. And when he answers, we get pretty excited about it. Amen? I'm just going to, it was probably two, three weeks ago, we took a look at kind of a kickoff to the understanding of when we pray, who we pray to makes a big difference. And so I'm just going to read this. Who is God? God, the creator of heaven and earth. God, the beginning and the end. God, the source of all that is. God, the creator of man. The same God in all his power and majesty. This God stops and he listens when you pray. That's pretty powerful. That you have that type of relationship with a God that is who he is. You know, when you think about the creator of heaven and earth, the beginning and the end. Powerful, powerful. So I just really believe that the Lord is doing some real powerful things. Another thought from this two weeks ago would be prepared to enter into a new dimension of faith, a deeper revelation of God's love, and a renewed understanding that your prayer can truly move the hand of God. You see, sometimes we say, well, I believe in prayer and I believe that God can do this. But you know, the challenge is that we will do what it takes so that God's hand can move on the earth that we live in. There was something else that I was looking for. In that thought, it was probably more the answer to prayer. I'm just looking. I'm not seeing it. But when we pray, what happens? We call God, and I hate to say give him permission, but he set the thing up. And so we give the permission when we pray. And God doesn't need permission, except he is also bound to his word. When God speaks his word, he's bound to it also. And so when we pray, it's actually opening up heaven's interference to what's going on earth. Because we're all concerned about what's going on earth and in all these things that are going on earth. We're wanting to do something about it instead of being just frustrated. We're wanting to have interference from heaven to come down to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so when we pray, that's what happens. Interference from heaven comes to earth. Now, heaven it's a perfect place. And all of us that have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we're going to live in a perfect place with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and with God and the angels and your loved ones that have passed on. I'm excited about that. But the fact is, now we can pray and we cause interference with the enemy of our soul, with the enemy of our family, with the enemy of our society. You know, we talk about things that are just off the wall. We have to, as believers, each believer, say, I don't believe in that because the Word of God doesn't say it. And then we begin to speak the Word of God, and we begin to see the results that God has when we speak His Word through prayer. Amen? So did you get that? So when you pray, man, you make a mighty difference on the earth as a saint in the Lord. You know, so just wanting to say religion, okay? And if I would name, starting out with us, we could name probably 25 religious beliefs, whether it be from Luther, whether it be from the Catholic Church, whether it be from all sorts of the Baptist church, people that have lived a life in God in those systems, and they're called religion. And so I was thinking about this. I know our president prays, or at least he has a team that prays. So the president does it. The prime minister of Israel does it. The chairman of Palestine does it. The queen of England does it. Jews do it. Muslims do it. Pagans do it. Heathens do it. Christians do it. Everyone does it. Few are sure it works, and even less believe it is necessary for what they're doing. For what they're doing. And what would that be? Da, 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 da. Prayer. You know how many people pray? Everyone prays. You go to almost any religious belief, they're going to have some type of prayer. You'll ask them about, well, we're going to pray about that, and they'll say, yeah, we're going to pray too. And it's kind of like a release, almost like a unity that you have in prayer. Now, you don't know who they're praying to. You don't know why they're praying. I know this much. I was in Africa, in Uganda, and they start praying. The Muslims start praying at 5:30. And we got up, and we were praying at 5:30. And you could feel the warfare that was going on with the prayers that the Muslims were praying and the prayers that we were praying. There was warfare in the heavenlies. And I think that we have to realize that when we have this much and this many things going on, we have to understand who is the God of heaven and earth. And when we pray, why does it work for us and not others? And that might be an arrogant statement. I don't think it is. But if you're going to pray, then when you pray and you know that God is going to answer you because you got a track record, then you're going, oh, yeah, I'm going to stick with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in prayer. Does that make some sense? Okay, prayer could be designed as the first global product of religion. So, because religion, everyone does it. No matter how diverse the religions of the world may be, one common ritual and practice that they all embrace is prayer. Prayer is religion's neutralizer. Okay? What is a neutralizer? The word neutralizer means to make neutral, cause to undergo neutrality, to make something ineffective. And also it means counteractive, nullified, carelessness that neutralizes our efforts. In the military, they would call it to put out of action or make incapable of action, to neutralize an enemy's position. So if everyone is doing this thing called prayer and all of the religious believe they're doing the prayer deal and they're believing that their prayers are being answered, we have to figure out or not figure out if prayer does anything. Does it do anything for us? And I'm believing that in the Bible, which we heard today prophetically, it was the word of God that we can believe in and take to the bank every time. So I believe that God is building a foundation that we can stand on, and when we pray, we will get answers. How about you?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Danny. I appreciate that. That was that $5. To understand the principle of prayer, it is necessary to understand the mind and the purpose of the Creator himself. So, nothing heavy. You just have to understand the Creator himself. And you know, you think about it, from the very beginning of Genesis, it was in the beginning. God did this, and then he did this, and then he did this, and then he did this, and on the seventh day he rested. This is our God. And you know, he created everything. He created mankind. He created the animal kingdom and the insect kingdom. My goodness, he's God. Wow. So to know him, really, you could read the first three chapters of Genesis and say, I need to know God. And he didn't make it easy for us, because to understand the creator, the creation needs to say, God, I need to understand you. And in prayer, God opens up the door so that you can understand him. And I find out, whether it be two or three people praying, there's something about prayer that is so powerful. You know, even when you're praying by yourself, maybe not as much because it's kind of forced, but you know, if you're in that position. I remember one time, my son Adam, he had fallen into a basement, and he was 4 years old, and it didn't look so good for him. And I tell you what, I went out, and I remember driving, it was called the Snake Trail, and I drove that place, and I was making deals with God like you never believed I could make deals with God. I was asking God, I was praying just with the urgency of the time that I was in. And you know what? God heard me. I got a hold of God, and he spared his life. Prayer is a result of God's authority structure between heaven and earth. So you say, well, we'll just have to pray. No, God has given us a structure so that when we pray, that from heaven, God opens up into the earth realm. So when you're praying about something on earth, which many times we are, like I said, my son, I was praying like I could never pray, but I was so convinced that God could do something, and he did. And I appreciate that so much. You know, even in all of the stuff that we're going on in this last election and all the political things that's going on, you know what? After it's all said and done, God is in control. And we're going to go on, and we're going to have great, great victory. And we're going to keep on winning, winning, and winning. I heard that today. We win. It's definitely truth. So prayer is as simple as just respecting God's authority. So when we respect God, when we get a hold of God and say, God, I respect you. I honor you. I believe, Lord, that you can do something great and mighty in this situation. And we've got situations all over the earth today. We have in plague mode. I mean, we've got some stuff to pray about. We got some authority, but if we don't realize that while just throwing up your hands, religion would just throw up his hands and say, is prayer necessary, or do we even believe in it? So we really have to, as Christians, we really have to say, I believe that God has opened up an interference line to earth to change everything from heaven. Heaven to earth, heaven to earth, heaven to earth. And then when we go, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I'm just going to read this one scripture where we kind of looked at the whole thought on it. Would be out of Genesis 1. And let's see. 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So this is God speaking to man. And then, so God created man in his own image. Before, he said what he was going to do, and then he said he created man in his own image, which he said he was going to do. Unto them, be fruitful and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You see, God gave that to mankind. He didn't take it himself. He gave that to mankind. I'm one of them. Do you remember? He was talking to the Father, or the Father was talking to the Son, and the Son was receiving that, and then the Holy Spirit. And he said, we're going to make us, or make them in our image, in our likeness. We're like God. Yes. Now, as much as every person on the earth has that ability, and that we can become born again from heaven, so heaven opens up so that we can be an agent to earth, and when we pray, we can change everything. Hallelujah. And it takes faith, and faith is not always just speaking, but faith stands in there and believes what you prayed that it's going to happen for you in Jesus' name. So it said, let us, and then it said, let them. And so them is us on the earth. And so we have to realize that God has given us that type of authority that we can do something on this earth in any realm, in any place, in Jesus' name. Amen. By these words, the Creator defined the boundary area of his right to legally influence the interference on earth realm. So God, we gave permission, or he gave us permission to open up heaven realm so that he could do things on earth. I mean, without God, I could do nothing. Without God, I could pray until the cows come home. And that's why I said the product of religion could come out of prayer. And in that prayer, we don't know who they're praying to, who you're praying to. We have to figure out something that's solid, something that we can trust, something that we can step into, and we know that this thing's going to work. Amen? And it's the anointing. You know, it's not hard. Right now, I have the anointing of God upon my life because I'm preaching the Word of God, just even reading the Word. There's an anointing to break and to set free all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. This is based on the principle of God's integrity and his commitment to his word. See, as much as nice as you are, you'd say, I'm a nice guy and God will be good to me, or she. No, it's his word. And when you believe his word and his commitment to his word, then he'll start doing things that's going to blow your mind. First day that I believed, I mean, things were changing so quickly. 2 weeks later, it was going so. 2 months later, a year later, there were so many things that had changed in my life because of prayer. And it wasn't even my prayers as much as ministers that were ministering to us. I remember Jim Erb. He was a real pastor of pastors, and he would talk to me, and he was just like you know, like a shepherd that would stick a bottle in your mouth, and you'd be sucking on him, and he said, you'll make it through. Don't worry. Next week, stick in here. Make this meeting. And, of course, Fred Soaring was more of an apostolic person, and he was just saying, if you're here after 3 years, then I didn't do my job. And so Fred was just really pushing you and saying, hey, get into what God's doing and do it with all your heart, and he'll make you great in God. And you know what? As a child, I love my children. I love my grandchildren. But I want them to grow, amen, and grow properly, age appropriate. They grow into young men and women that are going to be powerful on the earth. Because that's just the way God is. And he develops us that we can grow. He doesn't want us just to stay to be a baby Christian. He wants us to grow in maturity so that we can walk and talk and understand what God's trying to do. This is very important because there are four principles that we need to take a look at. God's purpose is more important than our plan. You know, like we got the plan. God's purpose is much more important than our plan. God has placed his word above even himself. So that's pretty powerful. When you think of God actually going out of his way to have his word above even him. So it's like, well, you know what? I think I could skip some words. Well, God literally said, I put my word over myself. That's powerful. Very powerful. God will never violate or break his word. I like that. God's holiness is the foundation of his integrity and faithfulness. You see, God's a holy God. You know, when Moses come into the presence of God, he come in and he heard the voice of God. Take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. And I could almost think about him. And you know, when we were in worship and praise, and I seen this yesterday, but there was a lion that was walking right alongside of each of us. It was kind of like a pet dog, but it wasn't a pet dog. It didn't have a leash, and it was a lion. And I thought, wow. And it's scary because you think about a lion, what it could do to you. But this lion was like, that's who you are. And that's the authority you can walk in if you just believe God's word. It goes beyond anything that we could ever imagine. It gives us a ferociousness in the spirit when we pray that, wow, the enemy gets very, very nervous. Hallelujah. What I like about spontaneous prayer is when you don't realize that you're praying, but when you're all of a sudden saying things that you never would say normally. It's a spontaneous thing, and you're getting in. You got the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You got all the names of God and all of his kingliness and all of the things that he did in creation for us on the earth. So God's holiness is the foundation of his integrity and faithfulness. When you experience God, you just know, okay, I'm not going to argue with him. Amen. These principles are essential to all to an understanding of the nature and purpose of prayer. You see, when I pray, I don't want to just, you know, I want something to happen when I pray. And I wasn't disappointed. I wasn't upset, but I said, God, when we pray, I want to see something happen. And I wasn't blaming him. In fact, if he would have told me all the stuff that I needed to do, I probably would go and do it. And I really believe that God has showed me in some dimension what we are supposed to do when we pray and get results. I think when we pray and it doesn't happen, then is there something wrong with that? You know, I guess I'd have to ask the question, okay, I prayed, but nothing happened. And of course, you know, I'm wanting to say, hey, God, we're praying, we're believing, and maybe nothing happened, but show us beyond what we're doing here. So I've got some areas of the word. Everything he does is driven by his purpose, desire, which never changes. In fact, his declaration is clear when he stated, and this is in Proverbs, many are the plans in man's heart. Okay, many are the plans in man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Okay? Sometimes before Christ, I had all sorts of plans, and they were not ones that were doing me much good. But we have to understand that man's heart has plans, but the Lord's purpose prevails. Isaiah 46, it says, again he declares, I made known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. That's heavy. He didn't say, well, you know what? I'm kind of a hit and miss God. He said, hey, when my word is spoken, you see, I was wondering about this, because how could God commit himself even to his word unless it was all powerful? You know, and how did he create civilization or the earth? It was by his word. Amen. So when you read the Bible and you begin to believe the word of God, it begins to change everything, or should be changing everything around you. Amen. Isaiah 55, 11, 12 says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Hallelujah. Yeah, when we were praying for you, Deb, and knowing the things that you were going, I didn't know. I knew the things you were going to. I just didn't want to know the things you were going through. Really. I mean, you got cancer. You're fighting for your life. I mean, you're out there. And I knew that, except, you know, like when you're going through it, It's a crazy deal. But because we kept on praying and believing, and you kept on believing and praying, God delivered you out of your trouble. And that's so powerful. So his word is that powerful. He accomplishes what I desire and achieves the purpose of which I sent it for. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, it says, in him we also are chosen, having been predestinated according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformingly with the purpose of his will. You know, God's will, when God wills it, it's a done deal. And if in prayer, when we're praying and interceding, and he's speaking back to us, and we're speaking to him, when he gives it to you, you know that you got something very powerful. It is this commitment to his word that is the basis of prayer principle. The word of God is not just the law for man, for it is also called the law of God. This implies that every word that God speaks is also a law unto himself. So what he says, he said, I'm going to uphold. What he said that he's going to not lay a heavy on us and watch us try to get through it, but that he is accomplishing it also. Amen? And I was going, I said, well, when did that happen? Well, you know, his son, you remember, let us, when his son come to the earth and gave up himself as a supreme sacrifice, and God himself saying, hey, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, and he gave that sacrifice to earth so that we can pray the prayer that heaven comes to earth and changes everything around us. Hallelujah. That's why I said I would pray about everything that I'm doing to make sure that God has an open heaven to change the circumstance, whether it's buying a car, whether it's meeting a guy or a gal, whatever it is, I would pray and ask God to open up a heavenly realm to check things on earth. And if we do that, I think that earth would be much, much better off, but much more powerful also. And you know, our political arena and our financial obligations and the countries that we live in and the wars that we face or don't face really depends on the saints of God praying. Well, I don't want North Korea to bomb us off the face of the earth. I don't either, because if that all got going, it'd be pretty ugly, wouldn't it? So whose obligation? Who's going to pray? Who's going to believe? And it really comes down to, and it's kind of almost a little scary, because who are we in Thief River Falls praying for stuff like that? That's like, boom. You know, I should pray for, you know, some puppy dogs in the police department and stuff. Hey, you know what? God doesn't make man. He made us in his image, in his likeness. And so he's putting some heavies on us. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:18 says, I tell the truth, until heaven and earth disappears, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will be any means or will any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So what God is wanting to accomplish, it's all there. It's not going to go away. You know, the law, you'd say, well, gee, I don't know if the law is good. Well, the law is perfect. That was the problem why we had to have Jesus come, because that was perfect. And the law, if we're not perfect, then it condemned us. But because of the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, we're saved and given this type of authority. Hallelujah. It is this commitment to his word that is the basis of prayer principle. The word of God is not just the law for man, for it is also called the law of God. This implies that every word that God speaks is also a law to himself. He will submit himself to his promises and decree because of his integrity. His integrity is spotless. And all through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, just think about ladies, women in the Bible, like Esther and Ruth, and their integrity and their standing in faith, and why they were written about is because they were powerful on the earth through Christ. He will subject himself to his promises and decrees. Your word in Psalms 119 says, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavenlies. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. Oh, we lost last generation. This generation is so terrible. No, this is God's word in all generations. And especially in this generation, because I think we're drawing closer to the end of all things, or maybe what I should say, the opening of all things. Amen. I don't want to say all the end of all things. I want to say, man, let the good times roll. We're going to live with Jesus. We're living with God. We're living with the Holy Spirit, the saints of God, our relatives, and I'm excited about that. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous man, woman, is powerful and effective. So our prayers are powerful and effective. So when you start praying, you'd say, well, you know what? I'm going to have to take this all in, and I'm going to have to get a prayer journal. Just start praying simple things around you, whether it be for your kids, husband, wife, whatever it is, and just watch God's hand move in it. Then it's worth saying, hey. So in Psalms 138, in closing, 1 and 2, it says, I will bow down. And I really believe that this is something that if we would consider coming into the presence of God, and as he said, I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and for your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name above all things. Okay? When you pray in the name of Jesus, things start happening. Okay? And it really kind of takes away the religion deal. You know, we're not selling religion. We're selling the real thing. Amen? For you have exalted your name above all things. But then it goes on and it says, and your word above your name. And your word above your name. In the name of Jesus, said it's a name above every name. It's all powerful. But his word is above that name. So in other words, God said, I submit myself to the very words that I have spoken over my creation. He said, let them, and or he said, let us, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he said, let them who we are. Amen. So let's just stand. Hallelujah. I know there's a lot of word and different things, but this is what they call teaching. And teaching is probably the most important thing that you can have. And you wouldn't be spending so much money on your children, bringing them to school for 12 years if you didn't believe that. Hallelujah. And that's really in the Word of God, too, that we have to believe in teaching that God has it all under control by his Word. You can take the Word to the bank every time, and it will accomplish what it needs to accomplish. Amen? And so then that takes away no sweat, I believe, his Word. Hallelujah. You know, I get stuff like this. If you were a Trump fan, I said, yeah, well, that's Donald Trump, but they have a Donald Trump Jr. If you're a Biden fan, you know, he's getting a little bit older, but I'm sure that he has a son back there too. And he does. So, you know, God's got everything under control. And so we have to lay it there and pray. We release it right now in this room. Everyone that is struggling in any way, you know your moms, your dads, you know your relatives, if they're struggling with cancer, if they're struggling with anything, that God, your word said that by your stripes, we were healed. We were healed. Hallelujah. If you're financially struggling, he said that I will supply all of my need or your needs by my riches and glory. Do you know how much riches are in heaven? Wow. You open up heaven upon your, and principally you have to do principle. But when you do the principle, there comes the promise of his word. Father, I pray for each person that the word of God will be so sharp and so powerful as you promised in Hebrews 4, that it's like a two-edged sword and that it's here to divide the soul and the spirit. And so our mind, will, and emotions are divided so that we can say, God, what do you think instead of what I think? What's your will, God, instead of my will? And our emotions. Should we be so emotional, or should we trust God to come into our emotional places and say, God, you're big enough and your word is true. And all things are submitted to the word of God. Amen. Even God submitted himself to it. So, Father, we ask, Lord, for each person as they're going out this week, Lord, that they will have great strength. Let's say it together. Great strength. Hallelujah. We've got used to it now. Let's do it again. Great strength. And Father, in that strength, guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. If there's any questions, I'm here. If you're needing prayer, we have elders and we'll pray for you. And of course, we're talking about prayer, so that would be a good thing. All right. Well, God bless you. You're dismissed. I do want to mention, we do have a conference. I should mention that. We do have a conference coming up And we are going to have, we will have an open session conference here at the church. There will be praise and worship starting at 7 on Thursday night. It'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, not a Sunday. It'll be a Sunday morning. And we will have Zoom. We're going to Zoom in people from Africa that you know, people from Central America, South America that you know. And then Leif Erickson and his wife, I'm trying to have him send in, and he's a Norwegian brother that was here last year and his wife, and that he would be representing Pakistan and also the Scandinavian countries, because he's Scandinavian, he's Norwegian. And for all you Norwegians, you can get guys out. And we are going to have lunch, after something, Danny?
Yes.
Okay. You can contact Danny with that. Is there any other questions?
Times are
7 o'clock. And we will have Zoom times, and that will be Jeremy and Danny and myself are working on that. That'll be posted on Facebook. And we didn't make up a bunch of brochures and different things just because of where we're at with all of the stuff. And we're not trying to fill the church up, which is unusual, but we're not. But if you're here in town, we will have distancing. We'll have tables. And then for wearing masks, what we're wanting to do, and this was suggested to us by Bishop Cole, they would wear a mask, come in, get by the table, take the mask off, and then if they were moving around the building, going to the bathroom or something, that they would wear their mask, and it would just be a protection. We'll have sanitation stuff on the tables. And so we're going to try to make it the best situation. That's going to happen here on the 19th through the 22nd of November, all right? And I do have two other things. Jim and Mary are heading for Zapata, Texas after our conference. You have how much finances do you have raised?
$1,200.
So if you're wanting to give into that, that is for our outreach to Zapata, Texas, which Jim and Mary, how many years have you been doing it? 10 years. And we bring down Christmas presents. Maybe you have Christmas presents for the kids. And then we buy food for Christmas dinner for families. And so that's a real big thing. And then we also have Danny and Linda, as far as going to Africa. It does not look, at least right now, that Africa is open so they could go. He was going to marry Vincent and his wife. But I already said, well, just go marry him on Zoom. You know, that's the modern thing now. Just Zoom. Zoom, I married him on Zoom. And so, but we are also financially trying to accomplish, or we'll keep on trying to bring, so we'll have a second well for the people of Africa. And actually that would be two wells this year then. And thousands of people are going to have an opportunity to receive clean water. All right, well, God bless you. I think that's all my announcements. You got anything? Meeting, elders meeting tonight, what time?
6:30.
All right. Sounds good. Love you. Have a great week in Jesus.
Jake, can I get key prayer requests if you want?